listening to the Culture Night podcast, produced in association with the Podcast Studios and supported by the Arts Council.
Welcome to the Independent Bookshop Tour. I'm Lisa Marie Griffith, historian and writer, and perhaps most importantly for this podcast, I am a bookshop customer. This podcast is part two in a celebration of some of Ireland's newest and oldest independent bookshops and the booksellers who keep their shelves stocked and their doors open so that we, the Irish public, can keep reading no matter what the world throws at us. In the last podcast, we spoke to booksellers in the capital, but for this podcast, we're moving beyond the pale to hear from booksellers all over the island. We're heading to the west of Ireland, and our first bookshop stop is to Charlie Burns in the heart of Galway City. The shop stocks over 100,000 titles and adapted to selling online during the lockdown. Bookseller Vinnie Brown will give us a tour of his shop. Hi, Vinnie.
Hello there, Lisa.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of Charlie Burns, which is obviously a really well-known Galway bookshop?
Well, Lisa, we celebrated 30 years in business last November. The shop opened in 1989 in a very different Ireland, very different Galway. But Charlie Byrne, who trained as an archaeologist, had for many years in the back of his mind the idea that he would like to open up a bookshop. So he was working in on the archaeological dig for the Air Square Centre, that was as is now, and that was being developed. There was a dig associated with it. He was working there, and at the weekends he started selling books in the West End trading market down just off Dominic Street. And from that, really, the initial experience was kind of encouraging, and he found he liked it, and moved to a small premises on Dominic Street in 1989, which was kind of the formal opening of the shop then. And that was what we celebrated 30 years in business last year. We moved from Dominic Street, which was a very tiny shop. One person worked in the shop because otherwise there wouldn't be any room for customers back in those days. And then moved to a premises on Middle Street, across the road from where we are now. And in 1995, we moved into this, this space in the corn store here. And over the years, we've kind of developed the shop in terms of size. Units became available in the centre, and we took them on. So it's been a very organic kind of a growth from a very small beginning to what it is today now, which is kind of a very large, independent, second-hand and new bookshop.
30 years, congratulations. Can you talk a little bit about the ethos of the bookshop and what you stock? So I always love visiting Charlie Burns for your history section, but I know you have lots of speciality sections.
We do. I suppose, Lisa, we're an Irish bookshop. First and foremost, we're a West of Ireland bookshop, so we really like to kind of have that as our kind of guiding principle. It is an Irish bookshop in Ireland, and we have a very strong local and West of Ireland kind of bent to what we like to sell. We're always really excited if we find old Galway local books or old Irish language books, or we specialise in all of those kinds of areas, and obviously the speciality of archaeology is in the shop. We travel to the UK and we go everywhere around Ireland buying books from people, clearing houses and buying collections from people and that kind of thing. So that's really what is reflected in the shop, is that it's a mixture of new, secondhand, remaindered, very unusual, quirky things. You'll never know really what you will find in the bookshop until you come in and have a look. It is a great way to battle the algorithms of our digital existence, is the happenstance of coming into to Charlie Burns and finding something that you really, really wanted, but you didn't know it until you saw it.
Giving people something to read and kind of tackle that boredom. Can you tell me a little bit about how you continue to reach your customers during lockdown, or maybe what you've been doing since then to keep trading and keep getting to your customers?
Well, it was an extraordinary time, Lisa. Even at the distance that we're now at, it just seems like another worldly experience, you know, to have everything so securely shut down, locked down, closed down, you know, people at home, not seeing anybody. Unbelievably, Lisa, we didn't have, you know, for a business that had been in operation for 30 years, we didn't really have a proper selling website, you know, a proper e-commerce website. We had a website, but it was more of a promotional one than one we used to sell books from. We always thought we'd get around to it, but one thing and another, we didn't. We were always busy doing what we were doing, and we said, okay, we must do that sometime. Now, we did find that at the start of the lockdown, we needed to do one really quickly. There is nothing, I suppose, like an emergency to make you do the things that you've always wanted to do. And within about 2 weeks now, I think our manager, Noreen Collins, put up a couple of thousand copies, or a couple of thousand titles, right, in a very short space of time. And we were kind of up and running about maybe a week or 10 days into it. And that was our lifeline, really, between ourselves and our customers. One thing that was kind of noticeable was we had up on the website, we had our phone number as well, and people would ring. And I think for both myself, I was taking most of the calls, and for the person who called, it was kind of the social highlight of the day. Right. The conversation about books, we discovered, if we didn't know it already, that the face-to-face experience of selling books to people is the lifeblood of what we do. We sent books all over the world during lockdown to Italy, to France, to Australia, to the US, all over. So it was actually very gratifying to have the whole experience kind of acknowledged from people overseas and saying, you know, we can't go to you, but we'll do it this way instead. So
that's really wonderful.
It was a wonderful experience, but nothing beat the 8th of June, Lisa, when mm-hmm. we opened our doors and people could come into the shop and re-engage with the single object on the shelf, which is a kind of an unbeatable experience. You can sell as many books as you wish online, but that engagement between the individual and the bookshelf and the bookseller, I think, is what it's all about, really.
I know one of the things that helped facilitate a lot of booksellers reaching their customers was an on-post initiative to lower the price of posting books.
Yeah, that was the on-post initiative was, I thought, a fantastically innovative one. It was, I think, one of the experiences that came out of the many things that came out of that collective experience, those 2.5 months of lockdown, was how important the post office is. But it was a real boon to the trade to be able to offer books to people at such a competitive postage rate, which meant also that you could compete with the online behemoths, and the Amazons, and the big companies who can, with deep discounts, they can offer deep discounts on a postage rate and delivery rates as well, because they do that themselves, and they're just a different model from what we can do. But it was a wonderful innovation from Unpost, and we appreciate it very much.
Brilliant. Vinny, thank you so much for taking the time out this morning before your bookshop opens to speak to me. And I hope you have a good day. Staying in the west of Ireland, we're moving to Mayo to visit Books at One, the Louisburg community bookshop. Books at One has a special remit that goes beyond selling books and has been described by Rosita Boland in the Irish Times as the bookshop that could change Ireland. So I'm now in Mayo, And I am speaking to the manager and bookseller at Books at One, Greg Fletcher. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about Books at One, where you're located, and a little bit about your history, please?
Yeah, sure. So Books at One is in Lewisburg, County Mayo, so on the Wild Atlantic Way there. So it was founded in 2016 by Declan Ryan. So Declan's kind of, he's got a foundation that he's set up, and this kind of is part of the foundation basically. Now, Declan's always holidayed in the area for many, many years and kind of basically wanted to try and give back to the town in some way, and actually bought an old unused shop that was kind of derelict and kind of did it up and transformed it into the bookshop that we have today. So, the idea being to kind of just, revitalize and regenerate the local community, basically. We're a bookshop essentially, but we do have other things, a co-working space, and ideally trying to create programs for the local community and for visitors alike, a little bit of everything really, but books being our core kind of thing, I guess,
That's so interesting. So you describe yourselves as a community bookshop, which is really interesting. I'm not sure there are any other bookshops in Ireland that are specifically, we are a community bookshop.
The idea is to kind of give back any kind of profits, kind of a reinvested back into the community in that way. So the shop is then used as an event space to create cultural events and, programs and workshops and run them at a little to no cost, basically. We try to take donations to help with that, donations in secondhand books, basically, to build up the secondhand book stock. But again, we do have new books and other items, gifts, et cetera, the shop needs to, try and run as close to profit as possible. And then we can use that money to put back into the community. So obviously with the situation that, everyone's in at the moment, a lot of those workshops and programs have had to cease, but the intention is once we kind of get back to some kind of normality, to bring those back and be a help in revitalizing the community, basically,
Which I can see that you're really active in doing already. So I've been following you on social media and I saw that you had a big book sale at the weekend. So you take in books that people donate to you and you resell them for community events. So can you tell me about, for example, what you did at the weekend?
When, like many businesses, we were closed, we were still getting a lot of donations coming in. So we were kind of inundated with secondhand books, which is a great problem to have, so we had some amazing secondhand books, but we needed to try and get the space back a little bit so we can have more of these events, to plan for these events later in the year or into 2021. We needed to kind of clear some of that stock. So that's where the sale came into play for that. I'm relatively new to the role here. So, again, my kind of my background is creating arts events and community-based events. So that's kind of my focus, I guess. But to get the shop back to a kind of a running state where we can have the space back again, and as great as it is to get these donations, at the same time, we need to monitor that a bit as well and make sure we kind of, have a great amount of stock coming in,
So I know that you have a website as well and you sell new books through the website. And one of the things that I really liked when I was browsing your website was that there's a real focus on local authors.
Yeah, we do take a lot of sale and return, and predominantly local authors doing sales with us. And actually, what the other item which I've forgotten to mention so far that we have in the shop is actually what's called an EBM, an espresso book machine. So this machine can actually print a book for you while you wait. So a lot of local authors come and use this facility as a way to get their first book published, to perhaps send to publishers or to, like say, we would then sell some of these in the shop as well. So yeah, because of that, we do have a lot of local authors that use that facility and also then kind of sell in the shop as well. So
Can you tell me a little bit about what customers are reading at the moment? So when you reopened your doors after lockdown, what did people come in looking for?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. One of the girls was telling me in the shop that they had a lot of comments from visitors back after lockdown, after cocooning or you know, grandparents after cocooning, coming in with their grandkids. And this is one of the first shops that they came to, you know. So it became, you know, to come in and buy a book and buy a treat for them was so that was really nice to hear, to have that. And well, during that Black Lives Matter kind of period, there was a lot of books relating to that, actually, funny enough. So which is great to have. We had a bit of a selection of those. Girl, Woman, Other, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, and different titles relating to that kind of movement. Books by James Baldwin as well. So a real kind of eclectic mix there. Donna Ryan is obviously doing quite well at the moment, Strange Flowers, and In Her Shoes by Erin Darcy as well. So a real, you know, quite an eclectic mix, actually, that we have. We do have all types come to visit the store, really. And our children's section as well is proving very popular, as I said. And, you know, a lot of children's books doing quite well as well. So,
And I suppose looking forward for the next few months, is there anything in particular that you're planning, given the current social distancing measures that are in place? Anything that you have coming up?
Halloween and Christmas is kind of just key dates, and around that we're going to try and have some kind of Christmas events. But in terms of getting back to the more cultural events, it's really looking at 2021, and I'm getting discussions at the moment with a few other businesses and groups in the town to kind of plan a kind of a 2021 calendar of events, basically. So watch this space, I guess, is all I can say at this point in time. It's kind of tricky to know what to do, I guess, at the moment. You know, there is obviously still that uncertainty, but yes, hopefully, you know, working with the local schools is going to be important as well. And you know, for us, my background is in teaching as well. So, getting a link with the schools and having kind of more educational programming is something I want to kind of introduce as well. So,
and that's so important. I know a friend of mine was talking about their children going back to school and was worried that they were going to miss out on that really nice interactive element of getting outside the classroom and kind of moving beyond their standard curriculum to kind of do more interesting things. So it's great to hear that, you know, you're thinking about working with schools and thinking about what can be done in future.
Yeah. So because potentially we with our co-working space here, which is that's proved quite popular during the summer as well, which is we have space that people can kind of rent for the day, you know, at a very cheap rate, and use the Wi-Fi and have kind of an office space with so many people staycationing from the East Coast. We had a lot of people here using that space, so that's been very popular. But in terms of school groups, then there is the opportunity perhaps as kind of study spaces as well, you know, with perhaps limitations in schools and things like that, even especially for secondary students, if they need to get away and study and not be in the confines of the school perhaps, then potentially there's that kind of there as well. So
absolutely, that sounds really interesting. Well, I'm really enjoying following you on social media. I have not yet made it to your wonderful bookshop, but I do look forward to doing so in future. And thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me this morning, Greg.
No problem, Lisa. Thanks. Great to talk to you. And yeah, definitely would love to have you come and say hi to us here. That'd be fantastic.
We're going north now to No Alibis Bookshop on Botanic Avenue in Belfast. No Alibis has inspired not just one literary work, but a whole series. Mystery Man, a 2009 novel by Colin Bateman, is set in the shop and was quickly followed up by three more novels, The Day of the Jack Russell, Dr. Yes, and The Prisoner of Brenda. If that's not impressive enough for you, John Connolly's The Black Angel features a character inspired by No Alibis owner David Torrens. Now that is seriously impressive literary clout. I'm here at the moment speaking to David Torrens, owner and manager of No Alibis in Belfast. David, thank you so much for speaking to us.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for thinking of us.
No, I love visiting No Alibis when I'm in Belfast. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of your shop? Because you're a more unusual shop in that you have a specialty in crime and mystery.
When we started in 1997, that was the focus of the shop, that and a sort of an eclectic literary section and within the shop. But over the last 23 years, we have tripled in size within the shop, knocking down walls and putting up bookcases and things like that. And whilst crime fiction remains a very important part of what we do, and we have lots of authors who come and visit us, it makes up, I would say, maybe 25% of what we have in the shop, and the remaining 75% is children's literature, history, politics, Irish fiction, Irish poetry, and a whole wealth of different things.
And you're always a fantastic place to get Northern Irish writers.
Well, that is something that really we have, we've been fortunate enough to be in existence when a whole wealth of new writers from this part of the world have sort of started their careers and developed their careers and flourished.
So during lockdown, with people stuck at home and in particular not even being able to get to their local library, bookshops became even more important for supplying us with our books and our reading material. Can you tell me a little bit about what you did to stay in touch with your customers?
Well, I mean, like for many of us, it was such a it was like a switch, you know, being turned from being active and community based and being able to talk to people and have conversations to suddenly being in a situation where streets were empty and there was nothing there at all. And we very quickly, with the help of social media, just got out there and said, "Listen, we're closed. We're in lockdown. We're not opening our doors because of an obvious health crisis, public health crisis. But if you want books delivered to you, or if you want books posted to you, we can do that." And thankfully, people took that message and supported us. My wife has learned the geography of Belfast so well in the last 6 months.
That's really fantastic, and a reminder really of the lengths the booksellers went to during lockdown to make sure that we were all provided with reading material. And I know for me personally, reading was one of the things that got me through not being able to leave the house. But you ship all over the island and internationally, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, we do. One of my young colleagues, Stephen, very, very sensibly came up with an idea of creating a store credit system where people could just buy credit, email us, and then use that credit to have books delivered to them. And we got lots from Belfast, lots from Ireland, lots from throughout the north, south. And then we started seeing credits coming in from Switzerland and Sweden and France and Germany and America. We're sort of looking at it in joy and bewilderment. And then you get an email from someone saying that, we heard an author talking about your shop, or we have friends who have bought things off you and we want to support you. And it's continued as well. It has continued. I mean, we're quite amazed by it all. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, we had a commercially orientated website because we didn't really do much selling online. But we tweaked things and we managed it in a certain way, and people responded. And that's a development that we feel that we are working on it now to improve that and to make it more accessible and easy to use. But because the community bookshop element has been curtailed and restrained, I suppose, in a way, because we can't have events, we can't have book launches, and we can't have concerts in the shop anymore. But people are still supporting us, and we're hopefully going to make that as easy for them as possible.
That's fantastic. So what were people reading during lockdown, and what are they continuing to read?
Well, thankfully, just at that time, there had been a number of books that had been published of a local interest. People were picking up the Lyra McKee, in her own words, book that was published, Lost, Found, Remembered. People were going back to the classics of crime fiction and general fiction. I don't want to sound crass about it, but big books went down really well. Big, thick tomes. The people probably had thought to themselves, I've never read this, but I'm going to have to read it. And I have the time and I'm not going anywhere. Things of that nature. And poetry as well. You know, lots of Heaney went, and lots of Leontia Flynn and Sinead Morrissey and things like that, because the strength of an amazing poet is what, and the work of an amazing poet is that it enables you to think in a different way, to interpret in a different way, and poetry proved very popular.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us today, David. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much indeed, and thank you for thinking of us.
When Joan Lucy opened her bookshop in Macroom, County Cork, she wanted it to be a place where people could browse as long as they like and enjoy the space. It's really important to Joan that people enjoy her now Cork City Centre premises. The shop is Cork's largest independent bookstore and has diversified a lot in the last 30 years, including into crafts. But books have remained a constant and are at the heart of what they do. In early 2020, Vibes and Scribes won National Bookshop of the Year. Hi, Joan, how are you?
I'm very good, Lisa Marie. Thank you very much for calling me.
Great. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of Vibes and Scribes?
We're in business for just maybe 28 years now. Originally starting in Macroom with a small bookshop in Macroom. Within 2 years, then I moved to Cork City and opened a bookshop in Bridge Street. And from there, we expanded that and then ended up with two units down in Lavitt's Quay, which is where the bookshops are now. There's a second-hand bookshop and there's a full-price bookshop. And they're just next door to each other, but they're separate units. And it's a lovely location by the river and our customers seem to like it.
So can you tell me a little bit about where your name comes from? Because I think that talks a little bit to the evolution of your bookshop.
Well, originally my bookshop was books and then I stopped music. So the Vibes and Scribes were books and music. And the main sort of influence was probably secondhand music. The music business died out and we were left with just the bookshops before we expanded and diversified into crafting supplies. But we kept the name, which probably doesn't suit the exact business, but it's a brand name. People know it and they're loyal to us. So didn't feel any need to change.
And you're the largest independent bookshop in Cork City. Is that right?
Yes, I would say we are. Yes. Yeah. We're nearly, there's very few independent bookshops left. Even in Munster, I'd say now, not to mind Cork City, they've been dying off and just finding the business world too difficult to compete in, really. I suppose online has hit the book business fairly badly and COVID hasn't helped now in the last few months. And we've had millions of other challenges, like every business over the years. But we've had a very loyal following from people in Cork City, so we're still here looking after our customers.
And obviously large online retailers like Amazon and Book Depository who are undercutting independent bookshops present a really big threat to the survival of the independent bookshop in Ireland.
Well, yes, most definitely. But we have we have a whole bookshop that is all secondhand. So again, that stands alone and that has its own customers and people who like to sell and buy. So that's not competing with the online. And then our own full-price bookshop, we concentrate quite a bit on 3 for 12, which is 3 books for €12, which is quite a popular area for us. Or, you know, we'd have our own specialist areas, children's books, mind, body, spirit, art, architecture, design. So we specialize in areas, even though we have the general full-price books as well. And we have a very busy online craft shop as well. But in fact, when COVID was lockdown was on, really, when we locked down, our online craft shop got exceedingly busy altogether. So everybody who worked in the bookshops, we all just got together and we all worked from the craft shop. So without the crafting business, there's a possibility the bookshop may not have survived, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, actually, that the Vibes and Scribes, one of the reasons that I suppose you've survived in such a difficult climate is that you've managed to diversify into some really popular areas.
Well, I think diversifying is probably our middle name, you know.
So you touched there on some of the difficulties that coronavirus and the lockdown presented to independent retailers like yourself. Can you tell me a little bit about how you adapted during lockdown or how you've had to adapt since?
Well, literally, when we locked down all our shops, but our online shop is so busy, so we just turned our online our shop in Bridge Street into a warehouse, and everybody just worked on the craft shop. It was pretty chaotic, I have to say, and stressful, because 5 floors is not the ideal way of having a warehouse. But we were also put our lists of 3 for 12 books, we put them online, you know, just the lists. So our customers were able to look at the lists, ring up, and we'd post them out. Now, it wasn't the most efficient way to be selling books, but we were happy that customers wanted to support us and we wanted to be there for them. We also actually were able to put in the crafting shop a huge range of jigsaws. And funnily enough, we couldn't believe how many book people started making jigsaws and crafting people. It was sort of a major secondary interest for people.
You won National Bookstore of the Year in 2020. Congratulations. That's a fantastic achievement.
Well, we were delighted. I have to say, when we were shortlisted, it really motivated us to get our act together and do more work in the bookshop. Like, so it was a really good experience. It made us review and look at everything and try and make everything look as nice as possible, as well as having the quality product. And then when we actually won, I have to say we were surprised, but we were really delighted. And it was a great boost for everybody. And our customers were thrilled as well. They were, you know, really proud of us. So, it really, you know, it was a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, it was at a year when we were closed for several months of it, but it still has meant a lot. Another area that's very popular for us is we have blind dates with a book, where we wrap a book in brown paper and we just put the first sentence of the book on the cover, and that people just buy it. They don't know what they're buying, but they're going to try something new. And again, it's a fiver, so it's not going to break anybody. And it just sort of was, we sold a huge amount of blind dates at Christmas, but even online, people were saying, send us out, during the COVID, they were saying, send us out a few blind dates to cheer us up.
Okay, brilliant. That's such a great idea. What were people reading during lockdown?
Well, funnily enough, a lot of dystopian literature, really. I think people were, you know, willing to look at things again and think about things. Maybe not all the lighthearted. I know there was the regular romances and all that, and crime is always big. But I think people were looking at life and looking at the state of what we're in at the moment, and things like from our 3 for 12s, we had 1984 in it. We had Fahrenheit 451 with Plague, Naked Lunch. So these were sort of titles that people, I felt, first of all, they probably had the time to read them. You know, sometimes these books aren't as lighthearted as some others we read. And then people were reading the usual literature, the usual classics.
Absolutely. So after a pretty tricky year, you're kind of sounding a note of optimism going forward into the future. It sounds like lots of people have returned to their bookshop, and hopefully that will continue.
Well, I have to say the bookshop customer has always been a very supportive type of customer. Like, they're more than just a customer. They connect to the shop. I suppose our ethos would have been about browse as long as you like. In fact, I remember when I opened first, I was so nervous I didn't care how long anybody stayed in the shop, no matter how long, or if they read books and stayed for 3 or 5 hours, I never minded. And I think from that, people got used to the sort of relaxed sort of atmosphere in the shop that maybe wasn't in all bookshops 26, 27 years ago. And as a result, you know, people actually meet their friends here, there. They communicate with each other. I feel it's more than just a shop. Like, I suppose if we've learned anything from this, is we've learned that we need to be able to connect with each other. You know, we need to be able to see each other. It's hard when you're just talking to somebody over the phone or on Zoom or whatever. You know, there's nothing like the personal touch. And I think Irish people do like the social interaction.
Thank you for listening to the Independent Bookshop Tour. I'd like to end with a quote from Jen Campbell's The Bookshop book. Bookshops are full of stories, not just stories on shelves, but those hidden away. There are the stories of bookshop owners and all the books they read that made them fall in love with reading. There are the stories of authors and why they wrote their first book. There are the stories of second-hand books and all the people who own them. And there's a story of every single customer who walks through the door. The best escape from what 2020 has thrown at us is in a book. So visit and support your independent bookshop. And there's never been so many reasons and ways that you can buy a book from a real live independent bookseller before. There's online, over email and social media, or the old-fashioned way, in person through the real bricks and mortar shop. This podcast was produced as part of Culture Night 2020, and thanks to the support of the Arts Council and Dublin City Council. Thanks to the four bookshops who took part in this episode: Books at One, Charlie Burns, No Alibis, and Vibes and Scribes.